Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. What you don't know is this is the second recording session that Pastor Will, welcome.
What's up?
That we have had today.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of like when we used to do two services.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
The service is so different from the second. Like, hey, welcome to the second service.
Welcome. Yeah, they will not know.
No,
but
idea.
I was truly blessed.
Oh, me too, man.
By that discussion.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. So good. Yeah, awesome to be back. Hey, some of the people that you have had on, bro, so awesome to hear from different people. Different perspectives and everything. Yeah, so that's been cool.
Yeah, it's been really cool the last couple of weeks. We got to hear from Mark last week, yep. Pastor John. We've had a whole host of awesome guys. Frank Lucas jumped back in. It's really cool just seeing how the Lord has gifted our body with all of these voices, these mouthpieces for him. And you know, that's the encouragement that I hope everyone takes is you need to receive from the perspectives that the Lord has placed around you.
That's good.
You know, there's a lot of times I hear someone, you know, they talk about a verse and they might use a phrase and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like how you put it that way.
Yeah.
It just highlights it differently than I might've seen on my own.
Yeah, that's cool. I always like to look at the Lord kind of like a diamond and that the different facets are the many, you know, we talk about diamonds having, you know, many facets and you get a different face of him,
mm-hmm.
seeing it from a different perspective. And it's all the same gem. It's all
right.
The same, you know, treasured jewel, but each different perspective is all so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we all have different giftings and different strengths.
Yeah.
So we have a tendency to, you know, press into our gifting.
Yeah.
But where I'm stronger, someone else is weaker. Where they're stronger, I'm probably weaker. And so it's a way that we can receive from what the Lord is doing and saying through each of us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good.
So we have a lot of cool stuff coming up at church. We have the marriage intensive.
Yeah.
I thought that was a super, super cool thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think something that we love doing is creating something that we know the body needs because of something that happened on a Sunday or during the week, because it's a very relevant thing to right now bless our people. And so that's exactly what happened. So if anybody missed a week ago Sunday, there was a heavy emphasis on marriage.
Yeah.
And some of the marriages in our community, the couples came up and said, I want to receive.
They came on the stage.
They came
That's
on
more
the
than
stage.
Coming up.
This is true.
Yeah.
I want to receive from what the Lord is highlighting, and I'm not going to let myself get in the way from that. And I thought that was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm going to stand up here in front of everyone. And so it was a very beautiful thing that took place in our sanctuary. And if you try to look back on the live stream, you'll notice that the media team avoided that so that they could have their
some
moment.
Privacy.
It was definitely a private, beautiful, intimate moment there.
That's so cool. So
yeah.
It's going to be over 4 weeks.
Yes.
And when is it starting again?
That's a great question. I want to say it starts either this coming Sunday or the week after.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people can sign up.
They can sign up online
on the website.
Yeah. So that's the easiest thing to do is to go to the website. You'll see the sign up for it. There's a registration because we are charging money. There's food that's going to be provided. And we want marriages to invest in themselves. It's a great thing to say, this is something that I really want to put whatever I can into in order to make this successful.
Yeah, it was just super cool to see that follow through from leadership on something that the Lord did on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you didn't go up on stage or you missed that Sunday, you're not left out in this process. Just head to hpc.church and you'll find information on the marriage intensive.
Yeah.
Another super cool thing for anyone who's between the ages of 18 and 30 years old is our church is opening up an opportunity for internships.
Yeah. So the application is already open. Same thing. Go to the website and sign up for that. And several people have already come up to me and said, once I heard that, I knew I need to apply for the internship. And the moment that they said it, I said, you will make an amazing intern. There are some people where, wow, this is really, really cool. So, so the internship, there are seven this particular round of it. And I'm sure that in the future,
it will grow
for sure. And you'll work with a department here at the church. So there's a myriad of ways that you can serve and learn, and it will coincide with 1 year of SOS classes. So
fantastic.
There's the academic piece there, and then there's the practical, as well as receiving directly from the leadership here.
So, awesome. So if you're feeling that draw, if you fit that age demographic, then definitely head on to the church website, put in an application. Sometimes I think people, they're like, I need the Lord to guide me to apply. Sometimes that's true. And then oftentimes it's take a step and see where his grace leads you. And then if you're looking for other ways to serve at church, maybe that's triggering something in you and you're like, yeah, I got to get involved. There's lots of ways to get involved, especially with kids ministry, all the different serve team opportunities, because we are a big body. We're a growing body. And so we would love to have you come and get plugged in serving.
Absolutely.
On Sunday, there was a big emphasis on the atmosphere of revival. And I just love that. And I think that I get very motivated by realizing, okay, revival is here.
Yes.
We're not praying for something or hoping for something that has not yet happened or isn't taking place. It's very much in our midst.
Yeah. Because the Lord is reviving his people. He's bringing us back to life. And so Pastor John and I, as well as other people, but Pastor John and I, we talk often. And so he likes to talk about how people put revival as this one thing when it's actually two, sometimes more things. So the Lord is reviving us. Revival needs to be personal. He is reviving us as people. And then when the personal thing becomes personal to many people, then this other thing that is all a part of corporate revival takes on this new life, where there is this corporate thing that is going on. But we as individuals need to be in a state of revival every day. We need to live that out every day, surrendering and allowing the Lord to bring to life the things that he desires to be alive.
Amen. Amen. And so now we come to the message, which to me is, you know, we're talking about this atmosphere of revival. We're talking about encountering the Lord and growing and you know, bringing heaven to earth.
Yeah.
And this message really, really does that.
Yeah. All right. So quick little School of the Spirit plug. Pastor Kurt, as the overseer, leader, chancellor himself of School of the Spirit, gave us a little taste, a tiny taste of, you can grab any course in School of the Spirit and get so much in-depth educational and practical knowledge to the Word and the Lord and the kingdom. And so Pastor John has spent years studying the furnishings of the tabernacle and everything, and has a lot of knowledge there, and Pastor Kurt as well. And so what Pastor Kurt gave us on Sunday was a glimpse into his own process, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I said that to him yesterday. I said, hey, bro, you did this awesome thing of saying to people, this isn't fully unpacked.
No.
But this is what the Lord wants me to share with you. And so the glimpse into his process really was this surrendering, receiving from the Lord, and saying, all right, I've struck gold here, and I'm going to share even the first batch of gold that's coming up from this excavating. Mm-hmm. And he also talked about some Bible study tools. So Strong's Concordance, people probably, I know that there are people in that room that had no idea what he was talking about. It's this massive book that was used to help unearth the original language of the Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek. And when you look at the original words, you're able to grab deeper meaning to the verse. And so Strong's Concordance breaks down each word into different numbers, and you're able to see where those different words come up all throughout Scripture. Now, you don't have to carry around this big, heavy book anymore because we have technology.
Yep.
And so Blue Letter Bible is something that if you are listening, download it and just start cracking it open because it's free.
It's free.
It's amazing. You can use the website or you can use the
app
tool
on your phone.
On your phone. And it's amazing because there's not just data on the words. There's also commentaries, audio, as well as text commentaries, all sorts of tools to help you cross-reference verses where you're reading something, but then you also see where that word or phrase is seen elsewhere in Scripture. And the reason why I'm bringing this up so much is the Lord wants us to take time His word. He wants us to take time and really draw from it. And Pastor Kurt started off saying that if you're stuck, you may have struck gold. The Lord may have done what? Paused you.
Yes.
And said, hold here for a moment. Because when we hold there and not try to move too far past what He's doing, we can go deeper. Mm-hmm. And when we go deeper, we're able to grab a hold of the treasure found there.
Yeah. And I think it's so important, you know, because we have this tendency of wanting to, at least I do, I'll speak for myself, of I want to plow through material. Yep. I want to keep progressing. So any kind of setback, it can, or bump in the road, it's like, oh man, this is impeding my progress. This is getting in the way. But what Pastor Kurt was encouraging us to see is, no, maybe ask the Lord about that bump in the road. Yep. Ask Him, like, hey, What's going on here? Should I stop here? Is this where you're calling me to stop? With these tools, it reminds us, especially as we grow in our understanding, is you get to use more tools. You can stay in one spot and really dig down and do a word study. Yeah. And you know, when we listen to podcasts or messages, like, we get a finished product in a sense, but behind that presentation or that message, there's a lot of work that went into that. There's a lot of seeking of the Lord and digging into materials, digging into to different books, or just even waiting on the Lord and asking Him to show you how He wants that highlighted to His people that day. And Pastor Kurt gave us a little peek behind the curtain of what that's like for him.
And he gave just what you're saying. He gave us permission to be okay with feeling stuck. Gave us permission to be okay with, hey, I know that this isn't just moving past this.
Right.
So now I'm going to do a little bit of work to grab a hold of what the Lord is trying to communicate. Because just what you're saying, we often want to, all right, let me finish this and move on and accomplish this. What we're actually doing by slowing down and taking our time with His word is accomplishing something much greater than just finishing a chapter. It's feeding our souls. Mm-hmm. It's feeding us in a way where we're allowing the Lord to bring to the surface the meaning, the direction, the truth that He is trying to get us to hear and see.
Right. And I know, as the temptation as someone who does presentations or teachings, there's this temptation and desire, which it's not always bad, but it's like, I want to present a good product. Right. I want to have like those nice little touches. It's like, oh, this was a really smooth presentation. Right. But what Pastor Kurt modeled for us is, it's not about that. It's not about a presentation, though those things are nice. But it really is about being obedient to the Lord. And He said, you know, I'm still working through this.
Yeah.
Right. But He brought to us where the Lord had Him for us as a body.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And so something that Pastor Kurt brought up very quickly is the need for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How we trust Holy Spirit to illuminate His word. And in doing that, Pastor Kurt realized, all right, I need to go deeper with this passage that he found himself in, because, and I love how he put this without making it a mandate. Mm-hmm. Pastor Kurt reads through the word in a different translation each year.
Wow.
You know? That's really cool. He said, I'm in Young's literal translation this time. Like, wow, that's great. That's so cool. So that it stays fresh. So that there's a different way of viewing it. So however the Lord brings you through his word, ask for direction. He said that also. Just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for everything. All right. When do I wake up in the morning?
Right.
What version am I going to read or any of that? So here he is in Numbers 2 at this point. This was weeks ago when he was reading it, and then he brought it to us to present this truth. But I want to real quickly touch back to Exodus 25, because what we're seeing in Numbers 2, the Lord said in Exodus 25, verse 8, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. Verse 9, you must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you.
Yeah.
So he has a plan that he already knows that he communicated. All right. So with that in mind, the Lord communicated it to Moses and to the Israelites so that they can have everything after a pattern that he already has in mind. Mm. So it isn't just by happenstance.
Right.
It isn't just by, there's a message behind why.
Right. God is intentional in everything that he does.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even though this verse is talking about, you know, the tabernacle and its furnishing, even with the way that they were laid out when they would camp, it holds the same truth that there's instructions on how they're supposed to set up and the areas that they're supposed to be, because the Lord cares about order. He cares about order. He cares about it being organized and there not being chaos there. If everybody knows what to expect because of the order and what was dictated, then things don't end up out of control. And so it's so beautiful how these names, we talked about this in the first service, how these names were given to men. Men years before. Technically centuries before, because they were enslaved in Egypt for like 400 years. And the people that had these names are long gone.
Oh, yes.
But now their descendants now embody those people's identities. Mm-hmm. We are the tribe of Judah. We are the sons of Issachar, like all of that. So now the names that were given to them and their meaning is what Pastor Kurt brought forth for us to see, that there's a pattern and a design that the Lord wants us to see when we're approaching him.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I would encourage anyone who's listening. You know, see how this pattern that we're going to walk through of praise, power, the presence of God in the center, fruitfulness, and God's judgment. There's a pattern to that the Lord plays out in our own life and as we journey with him and grow in him.
Yeah.
I know it can be very easy, I think, sometimes for us to immediately jump to the judgment.
Right.
Or maybe it's like, oh, I want to see this fruit in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the Lord's discipline. We're going to get to him producing things in and through you. But first, we have to, there's two very important steps, and it's surrendering to him, praising him, and then submitting to his power.
Absolutely.
So we start with praise.
Yeah. Yeah. We start with praise, and it's so beautiful because sacrifice of praise, let praise be on our lips, that the praise of thanksgiving, just all of these things that talk about how when we give God what he is due because he's worthy, we are honoring him and humbling ourselves.
Yes.
So when we give him, when we're giving him praise, I think about the Lord's Prayer. What did it start with? Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. That's giving God praise first.
Yeah. Your kingdom come.
Your will. Yes. Yeah. Which then puts us in our proper place. Mm-hmm. We might be coming to the Lord. The reason for me praying is because I have something that I want to ask him, mm-hmm. That I want to ask of him, that I need to communicate to him. But even though that's the reason why we're coming to him, then I need to praise him.
Right.
I need to praise him and I need to declare his wonder and his majesty and his power. And from that comes a realignment with him and a reconnection with his presence, and his presence brings mm-hmm. peace. So that helps us reorient our prayer life, reorient how we approach him. And when we do it in this way, there's something that I'm still very much unpacking. God sits on the throne. God is judge. God is King of Kings. So we should approach him appropriately. And there are things that we do flippantly without realizing who we're talking to or how we're approaching him. Yeah. And scripture shows us the proper way to approach him. Look at the Psalms, look at Proverbs, look at all of the beautiful writing, the prophets. And there are so many things that we need to embrace and live out in order to approach the Lord properly. Mm-hmm. And beginning with praise is one of them.
Amen. Amen. And so what I take from that is, you know, it's out of my despair. It's out of my inadequacy, out of my brokenness, out of my problem, out of even out of my success or, you know, from an earthly perspective or whatever. It's I have to go to the Lord in praise first. And you see that, especially like I was thinking when you were talking about Psalms, David will be very raw about what he's feeling. Yeah. But then after he's painted this picture of, you know, despair and betrayal, he'll say, but then I remember the Lord, or I want to live in the house of the Lord, or, you know, I give thanks to you, O God. And it's like that's the ascent out of that pit. It begins with remembering the Lord and declaring who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you put that. And it just reminded me that no matter what we are coming out of, if you look at the Psalms, I think we've talked about this once before, but if you look at the Psalms, you can find nearly every human emotion in there. And yet, 100%. What do we see?
Yeah.
We see praise going forth. So no matter where we find ourselves in whatever situation, we can still praise first and see this beauty unfold of song and praise and honoring God. And at the end, we find that he is what we need.
Right.
We find him in there, and it redirects and reorients us so that we can be looking at him and not our situation.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, God's so intentional with encouraging us to see that praise is a weapon, that praise does precede any breakthrough.
Yes.
You'll see that all through the scripture. You know, even just the care of having musicians in the temple. And then, you know, children of Israel, like they're going to go take Jericho, but they were told to march around.
Right.
And like blowing the trumpets. So it's like you see music leading the way. Yeah. And there's all these different battles and things in scripture where it's you need to praise, or like Moses lifting his hands up, and like the battle is in the favor of the Israelites when his hands are raised. And then when he drops them, then they start to lose. So it's like there's a lesson there of I don't move in the way that people move.
Mm.
It's like what God's saying.
Yeah.
It's like it's backwards. Yeah. Like you want to lead off with your own power and you want to make things happen, but really only I can do these things.
Yeah.
And for you to understand that it is my power, you have to praise.
Yeah. That's so good. That is so good. And so we're looking in Numbers 2 and seeing that this is the way that they camped, mm-hmm. right? But this is also the way that they marched. This is also when they
broke an order.
Camp.
Yeah.
This is the
as
order
they go. Yeah.
that they needed to go. So we have praise preceding everything.
Everything.
And that is something we need to take into our lives, where praise is first. Praise is what leads the way into victory. And praise is what led the way into victory of the promised land. Mm-hmm. So praise precedes the presence as well as the promise.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving through, we get to the presence.
Yes.
You know, God's power follows yeah. the praise.
Yeah.
And then we have the presence of God. And the presence of God is in the center. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Kurt said that our greatest need is God's greatest desire. And our yeah. greatest need is the presence of God.
Yes.
And that's what was lost yeah. When sin entered into the world, was there was this separation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so spoiler alert, that's what was gained when Jesus died.
Amen.
He tore the veil so that we can have open access, so that we can have just, he created the way back. And so now, with praise being the very thing at the center, of course, some people will look and say, why do we study the Old Testament? Because all of that is old and dead and gone. There are so many truths mm-hmm. that we can find in here. Like, no, we're not camping around. We're not marching right. around. But wherever we go, we're bringing the Lord with
Amen.
Us.
Yeah.
We are yes. his temple.
Yes.
And so there are truths about this that we need to grab a hold of, because things are different where we're not going to a place to set up camp. We are that place that he mm-hmm. has set up camp. So now, in order to embody his presence, we've got to make sure that things are right within us. So yeah, praise goes first in order for us to have him with us. But now we have him with us. We have to understand that there needs to be Sabbath. There
yes.
needs to be rest.
Yes.
There needs to be peace.
Yes.
We can chase after so many things and have so much unrest and have so much chaos and then question God and say, God, why are things like this? I thought I serve you. Mm-hmm. So why are all these things chaotic around me? Well, maybe now is time to rest. And sit and let him speak so that the treasure can come forward of why rest mm-hmm. is important.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, Jesus talked about abiding in the vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like we just remain in him. So mm-hmm. there is that mm-hmm. sense of you, as you rest in the work that God has done, and yeah. you know, the sacrifice of Jesus has connected you back to the vine. Like that's the whole point of it. And now that you stay connected to Jesus,
yeah.
it's his power that yeah. flows through you. It's
yeah.
his peace
yeah.
that is with you and sustains you no matter what's going on around you.
Yeah. Yeah. And as the Prince of Peace, as we yield to him, we get to know what that means a bit more. Because now here is this, I'm going to, when you look at, you know, yielding, mm-hmm. I'm going to not try and push forward,
right.
but actually shrink back and let him take the lead. And as he does that, how does he take the lead? He takes the lead with peace. He takes the lead pointing out areas where there need to be rest, where there needs to be an unraveling of lies, where truth needs to come in and honestly take over,
mm-hmm.
where truth needs to come in and bring light. And so his presence, and Pastor Kurt talked about how it's at the center of everything. His presence at the center of our lives brings that peace as we stay connected to him. And maybe some of you that are listening, you're asking God, how can I stay connected to you? How can I seek after you and receive your presence in a fresh way today? That's what revival is.
Mm.
This constant letting go and shedding of the things that need to die in order to embrace what needs to live. And that moves us right into fruitfulness.
Yes.
That moves us right into fruitfulness and judgment.
Amen. You know, because it's, and this is the stuff that I think a lot of people, you know, it's like, now that I'm a Christian, I want to see this happen. Yep. I want to see, I want to like get this problem taken care of, or like, this is so wrong, or this is so good, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is where we're going to get to that.
Yep.
But it's important that we understand the journey that we took to get here.
Yeah.
And it's when you learn to abide, then Jesus says what? I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser.
Ooh.
So now you will start to understand that the fruitfulness, what comes out of us, and mm-hmm. even the pruning and the caretaking, the discipline, it's from the heart of the Father, of the vine dresser who's caring for the vine.
Yeah.
And all we are to do is to abide and cooperate with the process.
Yeah. And so that whole abiding in him, we can't live separated from him. Mm. We can't. If we detach ourselves from him, we're going to die. It leads to death. It leads to spiritual death. And so to stay connected to our life source is to say, Lord, I am open to your pruning because I want fruitfulness.
Right.
I don't want to be in the way of fruitfulness, saying, no, keep those shears away from me. I really like that branch. It's pretty, but it's dying. It's dead, and it's sucking life out of you and not allowing you to be vibrant and bright and fruitful. And so there's this book called Soul Care, and Rob Reamer talks about how fruitfulness will come out of being free and full. So you have to be free first. And you have to be full, then you'll be fruitful. And it's the same thing here, where you can't skip steps. There are no step skipping to fruitfulness. Sometimes it'll happen quicker in some areas than others, but it will still go through the same process of being free, being full, then being fruitful. Praising, then having
the power.
The power.
Yeah,
thank you.
Encountering God's power in your life. Yeah.
Yes. Praising, encountering his power, his presence, then fruitfulness and judgment.
Right.
And the thing is, we hear judgment and we're like, oh no, wait, what did I do wrong? It's not about what you did wrong. It's about what he wants to make right.
Right.
We have the wrong perspective with that.
Right.
Judgment, discipline is love.
Right.
He disciplines those he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he does that, he's making us better disciples, better followers, better representatives of him, because there are things that he's correcting.
Right.
But we're so worried about what we did wrong that we kind of want to shy away from judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But shying away from judgment leads to not embracing his love.
Mm-hmm.
Shying away from judgment leads to pride, because we're not humble enough to receive correction. And you said this in, you know, the first service, how.
Yeah. Well, Paul says there's no condemnation.
Yes.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
But Satan works really hard to get you to believe and misinterpret God's discipline and his judgment in your life as a believer as condemnation.
Exactly.
Now, apart from Jesus, you are subject to the wrath of God, the condemnation of God. Like, you're under judgment, like eternal judgment.
Yep.
But now as God's child, and Paul writes about this, he's like, you don't have this, you're not a fearful slave.
Right.
You now have the spirit of being a child of God, Abba Father. So God is your father.
Yeah.
And now he works in your life, not to condemn you, but to discipline you. And
Absolutely.
It's out of It's love. Yeah. So see God's love and his judgment, his discipline as working together.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, family, I get this wrong. I get this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a, you need to do this. We need to do this.
Yeah.
Because the more that we do this, the more the personal revival thing becomes a corporate revival that affects who? Everyone around us. That's the purpose of fruit, so that we can feed others. That's the purpose of humility, so that we don't look at ourselves as better than we are and move away from where the Lord wants to lead us. He wants to, and it brings us back to this design, he wants to take his people and allow his people to be his representatives to bring him glory on the earth. So if that's what he desires, why would I get in the way of that?
Right.
Simply because I don't like how judgment feels? Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay. You don't like how it feels. The result in the end is so beautiful and absolutely worth it.
Yeah. And, you know, the fruit is what we see in each other's lives.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, we read about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience. That's what all this is. It's not anything that I would naturally produce on my own. It's from the work of God in my life.
Yeah.
And when you see these fruits in different people, when you see the fruitful lives around you that the Lord has placed you in, ask them.
Yeah.
Say, like, hey, you know, I notice you're really patient. Mm-hmm. I know that I notice you have a lot of self-control, or I see you being kind in places where I don't naturally feel to be kind.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little more about that? And what you're going to find, I think a lot of, I mean, some people are more naturally gifted in certain ways.
Yeah.
But there's a pruning story or stories behind that.
Yeah.
And when we receive that from one another, it helps us grow, and you'll realize, oh, wow, I got to get that pruned off too. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's good. That's good. And that's and it takes that humble posture in order to let that come through, in order to let the Lord show somebody around us to us, so that we can then say, hey, I really want to sit with you because there's something in me that the Lord is trying to get out. I'm stuck here.
Right.
I'm stuck here. Help me to unearth the treasure that the Lord wants, because there's probably a lot of rocks and boulders and all that on the surface and below the surface. But when you go deeper, there's a lot of treasure that's gonna come out. He wants to get rid of those things in order for the right things to be planted and the right things to grow.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, it has been an awesome second service.
Oh man, this is great.
I really enjoyed talking about this another time.
Me too.
So just in closing, if you wouldn't mind, just bless us and we'll go with God.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing that I want to definitely drive home
is drive it.
Spend time in the Word. Oh, it is so good. And if you don't know how to read the Word, ask someone. Ask someone, where do I start? What should I be doing? How do I read his word? I don't know how to hear his voice. It's a very humbling thing to do and say, but I promise you it's worth it. So you can call the church phone, send us an email, whatever. Even just ask us on a Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And how your truth leads us to life, how your truth leads us and fills us with joy and peace and so much hope, God. Lord, as you are reviving us individually and corporately, Lord, may there not be anything that gets in the way of who you are and what you're doing, so that we can embrace you and live out this calling that you have on us, Lord, to be fruitful, to bring your truth to the far reaches of this world, but that it would start with praise, that we would give you what you are worthy of. So God, we praise you and thank you because you are God, you are holy. And we ask, Lord, that you would keep speaking. And we would take some time to rest in your presence and embrace your truth. We love you, Lord. We're so grateful to you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us, Will.
Oh, it's so great to be here, bro.
All right, guys, go out there, go forward in praise, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Love you, family. Can't count on